We are joined by a senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. He's an analyst on the Pick 6 podcast. He is all over it with his training camp tour. Pete Prisco is my guest. Good to have you back. Pete, how are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good, bud. So your annual training camp tour, Pete, is already underway. Before we get to the teams that you have visited, how different is training camp right now versus the ones that you covered back in the day when Tom Coughlin was running things with Jacksonville?
Oh, night and day. Let's think about this for a second. We're in late July, okay? In 1995, his first year in Jacksonville, he took the team to Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and started training camp on July 6th. And he built in a mandatory/voluntary mini camp to open training camp, and he had 6 weeks of practices, two a day, beat the daylights out of the team. And nowadays, these guys go out for 2 hours, and they don't hit barely at all, and off they go. It's night and day, Jim, in the changes in the NFL.
Good times. Pete Prisco joining us. So you've written that he beat the bleep out of that team. And there's no doubt that training camps back in the day were much tougher. They were much more physical. Were they more effective?
Well, they were effective because you didn't have as much off OTA days and off-the-field work in the off season. So you had to come and you had to kind of find out a little bit more about your team. Even though you don't hit in the off season, you can still figure out if a guy can play or not. Quickly, and I think you don't have to use training camp as much to do that. Back in the day, you know, guys would be smoking and drinking and working side jobs, and, you know, they'd show up for practice at the beginning of training camp, and they have maybe one or two mini camps, and that's it. So I think from that standpoint, it's entirely different. And then, you know, we're much more cautious now about players' bodies and what they can take and what they can't take. Two-a-days were brutal, and anybody who's ever been around the NFL back in the days of two-a-days know that it was a grind for everybody who covered, the guys who covered it, the guys who did it, and particularly the players, because they took a beating.
We're talking to Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. Now, Pete, you've already hit on the Broncos, and now you're with the Falcons. I'm going to ask you about the Broncos in a second, but Atlanta had big expectations going into last season, then they went 7-9. What's the vibe like around their camp right now?
Well, I think it's pretty much that they know, particularly from the front office and coaching standpoint, that this is a big year for them. I mean, they have to probably win to keep their jobs. At least I think Dan Quinn, he won't say that, but you get the idea that he feels that. And look, this is a team that had problems protecting Matt Ryan last year, and you hear rumblings that a mandate came from above that you better fix the offensive line and protect my franchise quarterback. And that's exactly what they did. They went out and spent a lot of money on the offensive line, picked up a few free agents, but then they spent big-time draft capital on the offensive line as well. So I think from a protection standpoint, it would be better, but they also want to run the ball a little bit more and take some of that pressure away from Matt Ryan, who, by the way, had a really good year last year, almost, in fact, as good as his MVP season, and kind of went quietly without much notice.
If you stay on that topic for a minute, because I spoke with him in Atlanta before the Super Bowl, and when he came on the show, I thought that he was more confident, more comfortable than I'd ever seen him before. You know, to listen to you right now, and I know this already, you're a big believer in him. What is it about him that makes him special in your mind?
Well, he understands the passing game, for one. I mean, he knows how to go through his progressions. He knows how to get to, you know, from one to two to three and then dump it down. But more than that, he's a tough guy. I mean, you know, that's one thing, and in talking even last week with John Elway, one of the things that people underestimate in the value of a quarterback is being able to stand there and there take the shot, and he's taken plenty of them. I mean, you know, the middle of their line at times during his career has been bad. Last year they played six guards. They had rotation of guards in there, and he took a beating. So firm that up, and he's going to be able to even put up bigger numbers. Somebody asked me today, if he goes out and wins another MVP and wins a Super Bowl, would Matt Ryan be a Hall of Famer? And I had to hesitate for a second. If he won another MVP, that would give him two. If he won a Super Bowl, it'd be his first, and then he came within a whisker of winning another one, he'd certainly be in the conversation.
We're talking to Pete Prisco. All right, Pete, keep it in the NFC South for a minute. There's been some level of chatter that Drew Brees might be regressing. What is your reaction when you hear that?
That's absurd. I don't buy that one bit, and I'll tell you why. And I was down there a couple weeks ago and talking to Sean Payton. He laughed at that notion. And part of that is because they're a different team now than they used to be. They don't have to throw the ball around as much. They don't have to rely on him as much. The defense was better last year. So, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think if you still need to have a quarterback who can go make plays when they need to, go get the big points late in the fourth quarter. Drew Brees can do that, and I don't think he's regressing at all.
All right, so the Saints, Peter, coming off their second straight postseason where they had just a gut-wrenching ending. What's your sense as to how they're dealing with the pain of losing to the Rams?
You know, it's interesting because in talking with Sean Payton, he said, look, they've done some hokey things in the past to try and get past the season. One being they had a funeral on the back of their practice field and buried some artifacts from the year before. And then they dug them up when they went on a losing streak early because they thought it was a reverse curse on them. So, you know, this year he's just kind of going out and he realizes, look, they had a tough loss. They got to get past it. It's 2 years in a row. And that challenges a coach and it challenges a team because they had that loss in Minnesota that was a gut wrencher as well. So for me, I think Sean Payton is in a perfect spot to try and get that team past it. And when I was there, they really weren't talking much about it.
All right, so going back to the Broncos now, Pete, John Elway had some problems resolving the quarterback situation, has had them since Peyton Manning retired. Do they have the solution now in the combination of Joe Flacco in the short term and Drew Locke in the long term?
I would say in the short term, Joe Flacco can get them to 9-7, 8-8 in this offense. I think it fits what he wants to do. They want to, he played in it under Gary Kubiak and had his best season when he threw 27 touchdown passes in Baltimore. So he's comfortable with the offense. It's the same terminology. He will be fine, and I think he plays the entire season. Drew Locke is a guy I like coming out of school, and in talking to John Elway, he really liked him. But he struggled a little bit early on to pick up the offense. He struggled with accuracy at times, and you don't know if that's a product of being so early in camp or if it's a product of he's going to need a lot of work. But I think this year, for me, it's all about Joe Flacco, and then moving forward, I think Drew Locke is the quarterback of the future.
And then, obviously, Pete, they're in a tough division. For instance, the Chargers have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. If Melvin Gordon is there, do you make the argument that they're the favorites in the AFC West, or is that still Kansas City's division?
No, I think the Chargers are the favorite, and Chiefs fans won't like to hear that, and I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a star of stars, and they do have a ton of offensive weapons, including Tyreek Hill, who surprisingly will be there for the entire season. But I'm still concerned about the defense. I know they're switching to a 4-3, and they've made some changes on that unit. But I think, all in all, I think the Chargers are the most talented team, top to bottom, with Melvin Gordon. Now, having said that, it'll be interesting to see if they pay him. I'm talking to people around the league. Some say that they won't, and nor they should they. I mean, the running back market has been devalued, and paying him a big money deal will really challenge the Chargers if they indeed do that. But I do think the Chargers are the best team in that division.
So, Pete, on that topic, where do you come out? Like, what was your reaction to the idea that Gordon might hold out, and how do you see it going?
I think they'll restructure it. I don't think they're going to give him a mega deal that he's looking for. And in large part, all they have to do is look over across town to Todd Gurley. I mean, Todd Gurley got the big deal. And then Todd Gurley hasn't been the same player, A, because of injuries, and B, maybe some other things. There were some people that were concerned that his mental side wasn't very good in the championship game after he had a ball bounce off his hands and get intercepted. So I think, Gurley, everybody applauded him from the running back position when he got that contract, but now that might be working against those guys because if you look around, C.J. Anderson went in and he was fine. And in other spots, guys have gone in. Look what happened in Pittsburgh, Le'Veon Bell. Connor isn't Le'Veon Bell, but he wasn't far off of him. He was a lot cheaper. So I think that Gurley contract is actually going to end up hurting some of the running backs.
So, Pete, also, what about Ezekiel Elliott? Like, these teams have done pretty well. The teams that you mentioned have done pretty well without those bell cow backs, at least in the short term. Will Dallas take care of Ezekiel Elliott because they've got Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper as well, obviously?
Yeah, and I think if I was prioritizing those three, I would go number one, Dak Prescott, without question. I think the quarterback position is more valuable. But having said that, he's not a better player than Elliott. Elliott's a better player at his position than Prescott is at his. But the value of the quarterback position, as you know, is just so much bigger and stronger than a running back position that I think they have to prioritize it that way. But I do think Elliott gets done, in large part because I think Jerry Jones, very loyal to him, loves the kid. The kid loves Jerry Jones. We know they're a run-centric team, and I do think Elliott will get done.
He is a senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com and analyst on the Pick 6 podcast. He is Pete Prisco. Pete, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Jim. Take care.
You too, Pete. Pete Prisco has long come on this show and our TV shows as well. My thanks to him.